Well, good afternoon. This is Rich Morrison. Welcome to Kicking Up Dust. It is Wednesday, September 21st. I am traveling from the Farm Science Review in London, Ohio, back home to Illinois this afternoon. But thought I'd take a few minutes while I'm driving to talk about markets and some other things I had on my mind today. The market volatility continues. The big story here the last couple of days has been the potential for the war to escalate in Ukraine. President Biden announcing the conscription of additional 300,000 troops. And I hear today on the radio, they're talking about the number of flight or the demand for flights out of Moscow jumping as young men in that country trying to leave the country in order to avoid being drafted. So that's a big story. The discussion today, President Biden talking to the UN about, and pointing fingers at Russia, Russia pointing fingers back, the nuclear word being tossed around. So it's added a lot of uncertainty to the markets, especially the wheat market over the last few days. We saw wheat drop on Monday, 30, 40 cents, back up 60, 70 yesterday, back up 4 to 10 cents today here at the end of the day. The corn and soybean markets stepped back a little bit yesterday, posting gains following the wheat market. But without the big push in the wheat market today, we did see those two markets settle lower. Corn down 6 plus cents. Soybeans down about 17 cents at the end of the day today. The bright spot today was the cotton market, which has been just getting thrashed over the last few weeks. Cotton did close 3 to 4 cents higher today. I saw one tweet yesterday that I thought kind of was humorous, an attempted humor in a bad market, but was, don't traders think anyone's going to wear pants this winter? Apparently, with the cotton market going down because of demand or the threat of lower demand due to lower stock market, due to the worsening economy, that's kind of been the understanding anyway. So at least that market did find some support here this afternoon. No real big reports today. We do have a weekly export sales report tomorrow morning. When we look at some of the macro markets, they do make a difference. The dollar index closed more than a full point higher. I believe we are at a new 20-year high here today with today's close. Oil was down almost 50 cents a barrel, and the stock market down 470 points on the Dow right now, as traders fearing that today's interest rate hike won't be the last as we go forward. And that's the other big story. The Federal Reserve did announce a 3/4 point hike in interest rates here today, giving indications that this probably isn't over yet. We anticipate again next month at least a 0.5 point bump in October, probably another 0.5 point bump in November. The people I listen to that are pretty wise have said in past situations like this that interest rates have to exceed the CPI in order to really stop inflation. Well, the consumer price index at 8.3%, interest rates now over 4% on the lending rate. So there's some work to do. Either the consumer price index needs to start weakening or interest rates have to keep going up in order to slow down spending. So that's where we're at. And so a lot going on. Certainly over the next few days, the macro trade is going to be having volatility. The Russia-Ukraine situation going to continue to keep some volatility in the grain markets. So not much more there to talk about. I still like, for producers that can lock in profits, either A, make sales. You can look to make a sale and buy an out-of-the-money call if that fits your situation. I might prefer to wait for an oversold market to buy the calls, but that's okay. The other strategy might be to consider buying a put and selling a call, a min-max type strategy. And so if you're willing to accept a ceiling, and the one I've been talking about at some meetings this week was buying a 640 put, selling a 740 March call. So having a floor at 640, a ceiling at 740. If I'm not afraid of going above 740 corn over the next 3 to plus months, that might be something to consider. Worst case scenario, I sell corn at 740, or I end up selling a 640 or somewhere in the middle. So I don't think that's a bad strategy to take a look at. You can do the same thing with beans. You can do the same thing with some other markets as well. And I like that strategy in a time of the year where the market tends to trend downward like we are right now. Usually we trend lower into harvest, make our lows, see the market start to climb back after harvest. So that might be something to look at. So switching gears, what is today? The 21st, 9 days from today, we get the sales closing deadline for winter wheat insurance. We've got the highest winter wheat insurance prices we've had since 2012. And you couple that with some better yields for most folks, you know, our revenue opportunities probably at or above the best we've ever had at this point in time for wheat. We also have the opportunity to utilize SCO, supplemental coverage option, which allows you to cover with county insurance from your level of coverage up to 86%. And then ECO starts at 86 and goes county level coverage up to 90 or 95%. So it really does let us be able to lock in some really good revenue numbers this year with prices, as I mentioned, the highest in 10 years. We've got some really good opportunities to lock in some floors here. And for producers that aren't going to forward sell much winter wheat, this is a policy you could take a look at using. The other program that's due, the deadline here in 9 days, is margin protection insurance for corn, for soybeans, and for spring wheat. We had those base prices set on corn at $6.11, which is over a dollar higher than a year ago. Soybeans $13.56, which is a dollar up from last year. I think wheat was at $9.05 in the spring wheat, and that's more than a dollar higher than last year. So the revenue opportunity is the best they've ever been for most of these crops. Again, margin protection is a county-based program, and you can buy it up to 95%. What it also includes are variable input costs. And if you're somewhat concerned that we could see some of these variable expenses, urea, DAP, diesel fuel in particular, and interest rates as well, if those numbers are likely to go up over the year ahead, then maybe you want to look at using margin protection. It also protects bushels down, price down, input costs going up. Anything that causes your margin to squeeze more than 5% on a 95% policy would trigger a payment. So I would encourage you to take a look at that, especially for producers that are better than average in the county, and also for producers that don't think they're likely to be a seller over the next few months, but you're concerned that prices could start to whittle away here as we go between now and February in particular when we set our other revenue prices. To me, that's the big reason I'm looking at it. I'm not sure what's going to happen between now and February. I am nervous that prices could start to dip, kind of like we saw following the 2012 year. So, you know, in 13 and on into 14, 15, we saw commodity prices start to dip when input prices didn't. And so if that's a concern, you should take a look at this margin protection policy, especially this year, as high as these prices are that we're starting out with. While we're on that topic, I want to talk about a conversation I had with a grower in Ohio this morning at the Farm Science Review. The grower kind of wandered into the tent where I was at and started talking to a couple of folks. I got pulled into the conversation, and the topic was the margin protection policy for 2022. He bought margin protection from his agent, not an NAU country agent, last year, and he bought that policy excluding the harvest price option. So he bought the margin protection without the harvest price. The reason he did, and understandably so, was we were starting out at 506 on the corn price. He was mostly concerned about the downside movement potentially in price. I think what the grower did not understand was that when the harvest price goes up, that would hurt him and would hurt his policy. He did not understand that that without that harvest price option, you know, he was basically kind of stuck with that trigger margin that he had back in the fall last year, that was likely to get a lot bigger in years when the harvest price went up. What's happened so far here in 2022? Well, we've had yields mixed around the country. We don't know where those are going to come in yet. Input costs have gone up, which this grower thought, okay, he said with input costs higher, plus he thinks his county yield's going to be down a little bit, he said, I think the policy will pay me this year. And I said, well, without the harvest price option, let's take a look at our calculator. And so we ran some of the numbers. And because of the dollar and almost 90 cent increase in price right now, even if he thinks the county yield's going to be down 5 bushels, even with the higher input costs, he was $300 away from triggering any kind of a payment. That's the problem with excluding the harvest price option. Whenever the price starts to tick higher than what the base price was, you don't get that benefit in the policy. So his beginning margin last year was calculated using 506 corn, using the county's expected yield, using the input costs in the fall. His harvest margin this fall then will be using the higher input costs, which technically help the policy or would possibly trigger a claim on their own. He's using a lower yield, but because of that $1.90 move in price, it by far excludes any opportunity to trigger a payment. And he saved $10+ an acre by doing that last year. I hated to say it. I hated to be the one to tell him and to show him how the math works. He was sick. I was sick. It's hard to have that conversation. And so, I do throw that back on the agent. Again, he's not an NAU country agent. But I do throw that back on the agent for not correctly explaining that, for not double, triple explaining that to the producer, where the hole lies in that policy. When the market trades higher the following year, you run the risk of not having any protection. And the one thing I want to make sure I have when I buy crop insurance, especially at these higher levels, is that I do get paid if there's a loss. And in his case, that's not going to happen for 2022. Pretty sickening. He went from a $95 indemnity payment using the math that we thought we were using to a negative $300 payment or non-payment using the math without the harvest price option. So, A, I would encourage all growers, listeners, all agents on here, make sure everybody understands that, A, what the harvest price option's worth to the policy. That's huge in a year like this. It was a big deal last year when the markets trended higher. It was huge back in 2012, and I know a lot of people learned lessons back in 2012 that we wished we didn't have to learn, but when the market went up in the fall that year, there were people that lost a lot of money on indemnity payments by not having the harvest option. We do not want to end up in that situation again. So please, producers, agents, make sure everybody is aware. If you're thinking about saving a few dollars, I wouldn't do it that way. There are ways you can cut cost if you need to do that. Number one would be to lower the protection factor. You can still have 95% coverage with margin protection. Lower your protection factor back down to 1.1 or 1.0 or even down as low as 0.8. You don't get paid as much in a loss situation, but you can save a few dollars on the premium. If that's a goal to still have the highest coverage or the highest trigger you can get, you can take a look at that. The other thing you may consider then is in February, when you buy your underlying coverage that attaches with the margin protection, you buy your underlying coverage on the farm, maybe then you back down to a yield-only policy. It's not going to save a lot of money, but if you're looking at saving a few dollars, maybe buying the yield coverage then, since you have revenue with the margin, maybe then buying a yield policy makes a little sense. You know then if you have bushel loss on your farm, you're going to get paid a set price, which is going to be, it looks like, a relatively good price this year, and you might save a few dollars doing that. So those are just a couple of suggestions, but again, I did want to take some time to mention this situation with the harvest price option. It's a big, big deal, and for that particular grower, I hated to see him walk away from the conversation when we were done. He was not upset, of course, with me, but he's certainly just upset about what he thought was going to be a claim situation that's not going to be because of leaving that off the policy last year. So with that, I appreciate the opportunity to visit and rant with you this afternoon. Thanks for listening to Kicking Up Dust. We'll be back again to talk with you again really soon. Thanks a lot. Don't want to get no ticket. Don't want to cause no wreck. It's hard to concentrate with your pretty little lips on my neck. I